Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Inner Sight. Our topic, once again, is the soul, part 6. In a world that is getting increasingly smaller, and in which people of very different cultures and customs are coming into increasing contact with each other, the realization of the one soul is more important than ever, if we are to have right human relations. Today we're going to continue our discussion on the soul, trying to define what it is, how we can recognize it, how we can cultivate its presence within ourselves, and learn to see it in others. I like this thought by Alice Bailey. Alice Bailey is the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, and Lucis Trust sponsors this show. And the quote is as follows: "The soul is the force of evolution itself." And this was in the mind of St. Paul when he spoke of the Christ in you, the hope of glory. And before we go on, I'd like you to comment, further expound on that quote from Alice Bailey, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Yes, it's actually a passage, as you indicated, from the Bible, from St. Paul. And what he's touching on is the fact that Christ exists not only in the person of the one we know as Jesus, that Christians worship and that all the major world religions recognize as a great rabbi, a great spiritual teacher, but that same quality, which is called the Christ principle, it dwells within every human being. It's pretty nascent and hidden in a lot of us, but it is there in potential. And it's our potential for evolution, for growth, for expansion of consciousness. It's the ability that we summon up in a time of crisis that makes us pick ourselves up and plod on. And it's the evolutionary urge. That's the Christ principle is therefore a kind of a synonym for the soul.
Yes, and the glory that is the hope of glory is what evolution is moving towards, the glory of God that will eventually manifest through human beings in the world by way of the soul. It is the soul that is the motivating factor that will ultimately display that glory.
And my understanding of the example of a great spiritual teacher like Christ or like Buddha or Muhammad or whatever, Moses, is that they exemplify and they embody something that humanity has in potential within each human being has in potential within himself. And Christ is said to be the perfect embodiment of the soul in human form. Mm-hmm. And he said himself, greater things than I have done you shall do. Meaning, if I can do it, so can you. Through growth, through spiritual evolution, follow in my footsteps. Mm-hmm. And this is the promise that all of us have in front of us, if we so will it to be.
Would it be synonymous with the divinity within human beings?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, it's the divine potential within every human being that Christ and other great teachers have endeavored to depict for us and inspire and evoke within us by mm-hmm. their example, so that we too can live more radiant, more joyful, more intelligent lives.
So what we have to do, if we're interested in that concept, is to somehow actualize that potential
yes.
within us. Okay,
yes.
That's very interesting. Thank you. What is the relationship between the soul and the plan?
The plan is a term that's found throughout the books of Alice Bailey, and it is said to be kind of like the steel scaffolding that we see when a structure goes up. First, its essence, its fundamental elements that hold it together and make it become what it eventually results as. That's the steel scaffolding, and that's another synonym for the soul. It's the basic structure of the world to be, and as much of divine purpose as can be realized or brought into being.
Yes, it's also been described as the blueprint of the plan. The, in other words, the soul, and it's manifest also in the great invocation, which we say that Sarah says at the end of each program.
A lot of architectural metaphors today.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
And the blueprint is embodied in the great invocation itself. That, and essentially, it is the manifestation of light, of intelligence, and of love, and of the will to good, the power of the will to good. And these are the three main elements that are embodied in the great invocation, and that's one reason why the invocation is given to us at this time.
And you could say that the soul is the agent of this plan. The soul is the principle within all human beings that is needed to bring this plan into realization, wouldn't you say?
Yes, it can't manifest in the world without the soul, obviously, because that's essentially what we are, each one of us, and it's the work that we do in the world and the progress we make. And I should also mention that the plan involves essentially its consciousness, and it isn't a plan designed by bunch of businessmen sitting around in a smoke-filled room somewhere and deciding the fate of the world.
Yes, that's important to point out, because some people have a very adverse reaction to the idea of a plan. Right. Whose is it? Who's in charge of it? And what does it mean for me?
Yeah, it's not a plan designed by powerful men in the world or women in the world. It's the plan of God. It's the plan that God has to work out on planet Earth.
And it is, as you said, essentially light, love, and the power of the will to good.
And it involves essentially the progress we make in consciousness. And because it is the light of intelligence, and that's the progress that comes through the mind, the love nature that was embodied in the Christ, and that also has to be developed in our consciousness, and that manifests in the world that we make. And then it's the power of the will to good, which is essentially the power of the will to good of the whole.
And that brings up the point that we should keep in mind, that the soul doesn't pertain only to human beings. It isn't found only within human beings, but it's found throughout the universe. The writings of Alice Bailey say that the soul is one with the oversoul, and that throughout the universe, the soul is the conscious, sensitive theme of the divine plan. What that suggests to me is that not only the human kingdom, but animals, the vegetable kingdom, the mineral kingdom, all have their part to play in the plan, and it's the soul element within those kingdoms, as well as within the human, that brings the plan into realization. The evolutionary urge that we spoke of, you can imagine that is what motivates changes and adaptation and growth within the animal kingdom and within the vegetable kingdom and the mineral kingdom. We're all subject to this evolutionary urge on different levels of consciousness.
Yes, and I think it's, if you look at it this way, that it's inconceivable to, at least to me it is, inconceivable to think about that this great intelligent being, this intelligence that we refer to as God, has gone to the trouble to create this planet and then have no purpose for it. Of course it has a purpose, and it has a purpose within this solar system of which we're a part, an even bigger purpose. And so, of course, there is some intent in the mind of God to work out some kind of qualities, and the three basic qualities are embodied in this plan are light and love and the will to good.
And that's where humanity's part comes in, because the human kingdom has the exceptional attribute of the mind. And it's this aspect of the mind that makes us able to consciously realize the soul's purpose in the plan. And this is being recognized not only by spiritual thinkers, but by even such scientists as the writer Lewis Thomas. He was a biochemist, wasn't he, and a mm-hmm. physician? And he wrote those wonderful books, Lives of a Cell.
Oh, that's a wonderful book.
Isn't it?
Wonderful
and
book.
Medusa and the Snail was another book. He said that there's nothing at all absurd about the human condition. We matter. And he said, it seems to me a good guess that we may be engaged in the formation of something like a mind for the life of this planet. Something like a mind for the life of this planet. That's humanity's role, and that's the soul coming to mm-hmm. into expression and into responsibility.
Yeah, because the soul factor is what provides us, gives us consciousness mm-hmm. in the first place. Mm-hmm. And it is the soul that stimulates and awakens the mind, the mental principle in every human being.
That's why education is so important. The expansion of education and worldwide literacy, which has happened in the past century, is a tremendous achievement for the plan, because it enables more and more of us to think and to take charge of our lives. And it's why meditation is so important, because that's the focusing of the mind toward the spiritual realm and the grasping of the plan and one's soul's part in that plan. Each of us has a part to play.
Of course, Alice Bailey explores the divine plan in one of her books, and we've spoken so much about the plan. If people are stimulated by this discussion, what book is there that would, of course, there's 24 volumes, but which one of Alice Bailey books would there be an in-depth?
Well, I would say The Destiny of the Nations.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be good, and we'll talk about that during the commercial as well. Can we look at the soul? Can we look at it on a broader level, such as a nation?
Yes, we as individuals are souls, but as we've said on other programs discussing this concept of the soul, there are no borders, no walls, no limits to the soul. On the inner level of the soul, we are one. And so the soul also permeates groups of people, nations. We can think of a nation as being the expression of the soul of a people. It's not, I don't think, strange to listeners to think of a nation being a people. We speak of the American people, the French people, the South African people or whatever. There's a soul element in every group of people, meaning a higher potential and a higher destiny that seeks to work out through a particular group of people.
Right, and just looking at our own country, I think we can, just looking at the past history, one of the qualities that are manifesting in this country is the sense of idealism. We have a very strong sense of idealism in this country, and that's one reason why democracy and a sense of freedom, a striving for freedom anywhere in the world is so strong in our nature, and it's there in, as you say, in the people that make up this nation. Also, I think coming through very strongly now is this other quality, and it's a very national quality, and that's a sense of service. We mentioned also that service is the keynote of the soul. And I think this is the quality of the national soul coming through when We have so much emphasis on service today, and it's coming out in many, many ways. And it's a quality of love, and it's a quality of wisdom. And this comes out in terms of sharing and a sense of responsibility and of that nature. And we see this in the service industries, and our great desire to serve.
Well, our discussion today emanates from the works, from the writings of Alice Bailey, our founder of Lucis Trust. And the particular book, the one out of the 24 volumes of books, the one that you can find the most about regarding the plan and other elements of this conversation, is the book entitled Destiny of the Nations. But what the good news is that we've got a gift for you. We've got two gifts if you choose to call us up and order them. One is called Beginning to Meditate, and it's a tape that teaches you a little bit about meditation, how to get started. And then we have a booklet that a lot of people like called The Science of Meditation. We'll be happy to send both the booklet, The Science of Meditation, as well as the tape, Beginning to Meditate. We'll send it to you free of charge if you simply call us up at Lucis Trust. We're open, by the way. You can reach us anytime, Monday through Friday from 9 to 5. We'll be happy to fill your order. We do hope that you order some of our books as well, but we do have the gift for you. Just give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. Once again, it's 1-866-695-8247. And an easy way to remember it is to call us at 1-866-NY-LUCIS, L-U-C-I-S. Think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS. And we also have cassette tapes that if you'd like to listen to some of our prior shows, you're certainly happy to order any of our books. You do get a discount, by the way, if you order the entire 24 volumes through Lucis Trust. Of course, you can get the books at many other bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, but to order copies of our former shows, cassette tapes, books, or a free booklet containing The Great Invocation, which is something that people like, or what a lot of people seem to like is a general package of information about Lucis Trust. We're not a religion. You certainly can continue to keep your own religion, but if you want to explore life to us with us, come to our meetings whenever you'd feel like you'd like to, our meditation meetings and other meetings that we're having. You certainly can get that general package of information to find out a definition of who we are. And I guess the best way to talk about us and to think about us is a philosophy organization. We like to explore life, the meaning of life, and we like to think about life in a very meaningful way. So once again, give us a call at 1-866-695-8247 or 1-866-NY-LUCIS, L-U-C-I-S. And remember that the work of Lucis Trust, including this program, is funded entirely by voluntary donations. So we welcome your donations as a means of keeping us on the air. What practical effect should awareness of the soul have in a person's life, and what effect will it have in the world?
Well, there are so many repercussions of beginning to think of oneself as a soul, but one of the first that comes to my mind is the sense of responsibility. When you realize that you're a soul, that your immortal, enduring, innermost self came into this world with some purpose in mind, and I'm not speaking of some megalomaniacal destiny, but a purpose that's being fulfilled through the circumstances of your present life. When you think about that, you realize that you have a responsibility to the highest and best within you. You have a responsibility to those who share your life and your path with you. You have an obligation to be to live up to your highest sense of truth. And it's also, I think, the effect of the soul brings about an urge to serve. Because if you think that you're a soul and you realize that everyone is an expression of the soul, isn't it natural that you would want to serve them?
Yes, as this soul quality becomes more of a stronger, makes a stronger impact on your lower self, then you change. Let's face it, you change. Your whole demeanor, your whole outer appearance will change, and your understanding of life becomes much more circumspect and much more meaningful. And this has the quality of really turning your life around, perhaps. And once the soul begins to make an impact,
it doesn't necessarily turn you into a saint, unfortunately. What it does is turn you into someone who's aware of all the flaws and all the growth that's still to be accomplished. That's an effect of the soul, the light that it casts upon the unredeemed aspects.
Yeah, and so that sort of thing can produce some kind of friction. It can produce some kind of irritation, and it can produce a lot of dissatisfaction with yourself. But if you recognize that's what's happening to yourself, and don't berate yourself because you don't seem to be measuring up all the time, just realize that you're seeing more. And you're comparing where you are with what you envision yourself, where you'd like to be. And you're not there yet, and that's frustrating.
I think a lot of the really great people in the world are vividly aware of this contrast between their vision of what they want to achieve. They have a kind of a recognition of what they're... their destiny is, and their awareness of what they presently are. And they have that kind of bifocal view of themselves and of the world that spurs them on to a greater achievement. I don't think they're necessarily the most contented, most self-satisfied people among us. Often I think they're propelled by an inner drive and an inner restlessness and dissatisfaction. And it's the evolutionary urge of the soul making them move forward.
Yeah, quite often these outstanding people have flaws. Mm-hmm. I mean, and we tend to pick up on the flaws, unfortunately, and we sometimes miss the great practical service that they are doing. And incidentally, service is, as you mentioned, it's one of those qualities of the soul that comes through, I think, very naturally. And it tends to want to make people serve more. I mean, it's a natural feeling that comes up.
Because we're one, because we're not separated units. We live in separate physical bodies, but if we are the soul, we are one on the inner planes.
And that's what comes through in one's consciousness when this soul begins to make an impact. And it really begins to manifest in the way you think, in the way you feel, in the way you look at the world and your people around you, and it changes just the way you everything about yourself.
Well, it certainly makes selfishness and aggression impossible to justify, and for so many people, those are just kind of natural inclinations. But if you believe that you are the soul, that you are accountable for the quality of your life, then how can you justify selfish aggression for any reason at all, for economic reasons or for any other reason? It can't be reconciled.
I think you're absolutely right. And if we accept the premise set forth in the Alice Bailey books that mankind has a divinity within him or within her, that leads us to the next step, and that is the thought that we should never really betray the best within us. That I think it leads to that particular thought. And another comment is I like that quantum physics is finally coming around to Alice Bailey's thesis about how we're all connected. Mm-hmm. And for those people who are very scientifically oriented, who have a real doubt for anything spiritual, quantum physics has finally acknowledged that we are indeed all connected. Well, Alice Bailey could have told them that a long time ago, but I'm glad they're finally coming around. That makes me happy. So another thought that I have here is your thoughts, and what are your final thoughts, if you have any?
Well, we've been discussing the soul now for a number of programs. I would like to just reaffirm one method for bringing the soul into one's daily consciousness, the fact of the need for a rhythmic approach that we mentioned earlier, because the soul accomplishes its purpose. It makes its impression upon us through a rhythmic approach rather than a furious but sporadic effort to, quote, be good, unquote. Mm-hmm. And that's why daily meditation is so important. There's another method called an evening review that people could consider, where you review the events of the day and you try to examine your life for its soul quality so that you can learn to identify where the soul came to the forefront of your day. And there's actually a little affirmation that one can say. It begins, "Let the soul control the outer form and life and all events and bring to light the love that underlies the happenings of the time." If people would like to request that affirmation, we have it available on a little card that we could send people if they call us.
We'll be happy to send that out to you if you give us a call at 1-866-695-8247. And once again, it's just a reminder that we are giving you, as a gift, Beginning to Meditate, a tape that leads you into the initial stages of meditation. And we're also giving you The Science of Meditation, very interesting booklet. And Dale, we don't want to neglect you. Do you have any final thoughts?
Just one, I guess, very briefly. I think that makes an impression on me. The soul is essentially what gives us our sense of being. Mm-hmm. We have this ability to define ourselves as I am, and you are you, and I am me. And it's our sense of beingness that really comes through from the soul, because this is what the soul is. It is not this physical body. It is not the emotional nature. It's not your mind. Actually, it's a being. It's an identity. And that comes straight from God.
Good. And I want to just tell people that you're always welcome to give us a call and interact with us. But try to remember that the work of Lucis Trust, including this program, is funded entirely by voluntary donations, so we welcome your donations. Please help us out to stay on the air. And in closing, we invite you to ponder on this thought. Goodwill is the touchstone that will transform the world. Goodwill is love in action. It is the energy that draws us together in right relationship. There is a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.